C.S. Lewis stated, "The moment you wake up each morning, all your wishes and hopes for the day rush at you like wild animals. And the first job each morning consists in shoving it all back." And I love that. He goes on to say, listening to that other voice, taking that other point of view, letting that other larger, stronger, quieter life come flowing in. And as we wake up each morning, or as you're laying in bed at night and the attacks happen, and all the, as C.S. Lewis said, the wild animals start coming into your thoughts and what's going to happen tomorrow and the next day, he basically gives a great explanation on how to shove it back. And how do you shove that back to where it came from? You pray. You talk to God. You listen to that other voice, not the weird ones that I hear once in a while in my mind. But you listen to that other voice, the voice of the Holy Spirit, the voice of God that is living inside of us. Take the other point of view. I have one point of view. I have one opinion. God has put another point of view in me. Take that other point of view. Let the other larger, stronger, quieter life come flowing in. We need to be praying people. We have to be praying people. I mean, we're Christians. We can pray to a living God, a God who hears us, a God who understands us, a God who leans down with his ear to hear from us. Why do we not talk to him? Why do we not communicate with him? In him is where our help comes from. In him. Through him is where my strength, through him is where your strength lies. It's amazing that in each and every one of us, we have everything that we need. Everything that we need. If we desire him. If we could have everything that we need to be victorious on this planet if we desire him. It has also been said, he who runs from God in the morning will scarcely find him the rest of the day. Now think about that. The first thing I do when I get in my car, man, it should be the first thing I do before I get out of bed. Sarah Gross has an awesome song. May the first thing that I do before my feet hit the floor is to worship you, Lord. I usually wait till I get into the car and I get ready to start the car. And then I'm like, Lord, you know my deal. You know my day. You know what I'm facing. Will you help me? Would you guide me? Hey, put people in my path that I could administer your grace and mercy to. But hey, first, I need it. I need help. I need strength. I need all of this thing. He who runs from God in the morning will scarcely find him the rest of the day. How many days have you woken up and not given any time to God whatsoever, and then at 2 o'clock you're like, oh man, what is going on here? You know, I'm just sleeping at the wheel. I'm just lost. I'm hopeless. I'm desperate. I'm confused. Oh, that's right, God. That's right. You're living inside of me. Thank you for reminding me that. The Lord tells Jeremiah in Jeremiah 29. Hey! The enemy's not going to win in this facility. What happened? Oh, the kids can go in there if they want. I am so sorry. Sorry about that, Carol. Jeremiah, the Lord tells Jeremiah this. In those days when you pray, I will listen. Listen, if you're not talking to God, he has nothing to hear from. In those days when you pray, he will listen. If you look for me wholeheartedly, you will find me. In those days when you pray. We're going to continue in our story this morning. But I want us to keep in mind that we need to be a praying people. Because just because you're saved, just because you're a Christian, just because you're a follower of Jesus Christ does not mean that you never can fall away. Just because you're hanging out with the Lord and He may be your homie or whatever you call Him, your best friend, your God, your Savior, Messiah, it doesn't mean if you wake up one morning and you take your eyes focused off of Him that the enemy's not going to come in and try to rip off your day and rip off your week and rip off your month and try to rip your life off. He's not done with us. So never fall away. Well, look, we're going to backtrack a little bit in our scriptures, and then we'll read up to 56, but we're going to start in Matthew 26, 45, and we'll read up to 56. Then he came to the disciples and said, "Go ahead and sleep. Have your rest. But look, the time has come. The Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Up, let's be going. Look, my betrayer is here." And even as Jesus said this, Judas, one of the 12 disciples, arrived with a crowd of men armed with swords and clubs. They had been sent by the leading priests and elders of the people. The traitor Judas had given them a prearranged signal. "You will know which one to arrest when I greet him with a kiss." So Judas came straight to him. "Greetings, Rabbi," he exclaimed, and gave him the kiss. Jesus said, "My friend, go ahead and do what you have come for." Then the others grabbed Jesus and arrested him. But one of the men with Jesus pulled out his sword and struck the high priest's slave, slashing off his ear. "Put away your sword," Jesus told him. "Those who use the sword will die by the sword. Don't you realize that I could ask my Father for thousands of angels to protect us, and he would send them instantly? But if I did, how would the scriptures be fulfilled that describe what must happen now?" Then Jesus said to the crowd, "Am I some dangerous revolutionary that you come with swords and clubs to arrest me? Why didn't you arrest me in the temple? I was there teaching every day." But this is all happening to fulfill the words of the prophets as recorded in the scriptures. At that point, all the disciples deserted him, and fled. But at that point, they were in ministry. They were hanging out with Jesus for 3 years. They had seen him heal people. They had seen him walk on water. They had seen him put demons in pigs. They had seen him raise Lazarus from the dead. They had seen his compassion and his mercy and his patience and his understanding and his wisdom. And that he would not do anything apart from God. But as they stood in the garden and they looked around, they were all gone. All the disciples deserted him and fled. And Mark's gospel tells us this. Then all the disciples deserted him and ran away. One young man, presumably was Mark, following behind, was clothed only in a long linen shirt. When the mob tried to grab him, he slipped out of his shirt and ran away naked. So of course, Mark, writing this gospel, he probably, "Well, I'm not going to put my own name in there. I'll just say one of you guys. They can try to figure it out later. But dude, everybody saw it was you that was standing there." He slipped out of his shirt and ran away. I love how Matthew puts it, though. At that point, they all deserted. They all ran. They all fled. Jesus had just warned them earlier in the garden. 3 separate times he had come to them and warned them. Listen, keep watch and pray. And I'm telling you, as we went through this study a few weeks ago, he is telling us the same exact thing. We have to keep watch and we have to pray. And Jesus' reasoning for that was so that you won't give in to temptation. Listen, if you're not keeping watch, and if you're not praying, and if you're not seeking my kingdom, you are going to give in to temptation, and you're going to run away. You're going to be scared. You're going to wake up in the morning and when those lions and when the tigers and the bears start attacking your mind or your schedule or your boss, you're going to be scared. You're going to have fear. You're going to feel hopeless. You're going to feel desperate. You're going to feel lost. You're going to feel lonely. So keep watch and pray so that you don't fall into temptation. That's all. Keep watch and pray so that lest you fall into temptation. I mean, just a short time before this happened, in Matthew 26:35, no, Peter insisted. Even if I have to die with you, I will never deny you. And all the other disciples vowed the same. Even if I have to die for you. Listen, I've got a switchblade, man. We're like gangsters on the scene here. We're going to take these people on no matter what happens, Jesus. We're never going to deny you. We're never, even if I have to die with you, man. Even if I have to die with you. And everybody's standing there all tough and bold. Yeah, yeah. You couldn't even stay awake for 5 minutes and be alert and pray. Now you're going to stand here in the midst of persecution, in the midst of adversity, and you're going to hang with me on this one. Remember, they had just experienced an awesome dinner with Jesus. He taught, as you look through John's gospel, the things that he taught, and he was washing their feet, and they were just, it was such a blessing to be at this dinner. And then following the dinner, they went out, and on the way to the garden, they had an awesome worship concert. Jesus leads singing on the way to Gethsemane, just singing as they walk to the garden. They're pumped up, filled with God and the presence of the Lord. So how do we get from walking and experiencing God and following God, worshiping the Lord, giving everything you have, just being all of His presence, to fold in tent? How does that happen? To doing all those things and then throwing in the cards, basically. Turning away from Him. Oh, you're all going to die. Even if I have to die with you. Words are cheap. Jesus Christ died on the cross. That cost something. That cost Him everything. That cost His Father everything. That we shouldn't cheapen that. Turning away from Him, and even worse than that, listen, I got to remove myself from your presence. That's what the disciples did. They removed themselves from the one thing on the planet that could help them. And they removed themselves from His presence. And I tell you, that presence is where we find everything. We need to be victorious. You run from God, there's no victory in that. You run from God, there's no hope in that. You run from God, lost, lonely, hopeless, desperate, confused. In His presence, we find everything we need to be victorious in all situations and circumstances. It doesn't matter what the world throws your way. It doesn't matter whether the songs play in the morning. You have Jesus Christ in your heart. As I've said many times before, Peter's probably going to have his way with me when he sees me in heaven. So I want to throw him a bone this morning, and I want to lift him up a little bit, because if I go home to the Lord this week, I gotta go up there with something, saying something nice about him. You ever think about that? Man, I threw that guy under the bus last week. I wonder if he'll be in heaven. Probably. Let's parallel this story with the one who fled. And this is so cool, because here's Peter. He had his little knife, and he's doing his thing, and he's cutting off the ear and doing, but he ran, he fled. And next week we're going to see, not only did he flee, but then when Jesus got arrested, he followed him. But not like a friend would follow with a friend and have conversation. He followed him from a distance. We're going to see that he even warmed his body at the enemy's fire. He's following him at a distance. But let's listen to Peter here in 2 Peter. by His divine power. And I could stop right there and preach the rest of my life on that. But by His divine power. Not my power, not my strength, not with all the goods that I think I have in me, because I'm all this and so much more, and you better learn it and live it and breathe it. No, by His divine power. And here's the key. God has given us everything we need for living a godly life. Do you realize that? Do you realize that He has given you everything you need for living a godly life? Well, I'm following. No. God has given you everything. We have received all of this by coming to know Him. The one who called us to Himself by means of His marvelous glory and excellence. And because of His glory and excellence, He has given us great and precious promises. Do you realize that? That God has given you not just, well, give me a cup. No. Great and precious promise. You know when something is precious? When you have something precious in your house, what do? You leave it out on the front lawn so someone would come and steal it? No, but He has given us great and precious promises. Something to hold on to. Something to worship. Something to be in awe of. These are the promises that enable the apostles? Wait, no. These are the promises that enable the angels? Oh, no. These are the promises that enable that other guy? These are the promises that enable you. You! When you read that, make it personal. The promises of God are for you. Because why? Because you can share in His divine nature. Jesus Christ came here, lived amongst us, humble in nature, so that we could share in that divine nature. And even better than sharing in that nature is I can escape the world's corruption. I can escape the world's corruption caused by human desires because I have, we're going to see it in a second, what's living inside of me. And that's the power that raised Jesus Christ from the dead is living inside of me. Who else can say that except a believer in Jesus Christ? That's all I need. I don't know about you, and you've got power, and you're strong, and you got muscles and all those good things, man, but I got the power that raised Christ from the dead living inside of me. You can't really see it, but I can tell you that. I can share that with you. The same Peter who did this in his own strength. Look at this in John 18. The same Peter who did this just said that. Then Simon Peter drew a sword and slashed off the right ear of Malchus, the high priest's slave. But Jesus said to Peter, "Put your sword back into its sheath, man. What are you doing? We're just sleeping. Now you're all gung-ho. Now you're in the mafia? What are you doing? What are you cutting this guy? Shall I not drink from the cup of suffering the Father has given me?" He cut off his ear. I mean, think about it. Being in a gang like Peter was, with a gang, being that gangster like Peter, you think he would have got off throat when he went. You know, I mean, I'm a skilled... No, he was a fisherman. Fishermen don't go for people's throats, man. Fishermen don't... They go for the throat and they hit the ear. But he was a fisherman. But he was a fisherman. What is your trade? What do you do for the Lord on this planet? He was a fisherman, but he was chosen by the Lord to do what? To follow Him. Hey, when God asks you to follow His Son, He has something for you to do. It doesn't matter if you're a fisherman. But don't try to act like a gangster. It doesn't matter if you're a secretary. Don't try to act like the person sitting next to you. It doesn't matter what you're doing. If God has called you to follow Him, follow Him. Jesus called Peter to follow Him, to be taught by Him. And you know what? And we're going to see as we get into the book of Acts, he's going to be sent out by Jesus. Peter, upon that rock, I'm going to build this church, man. You are the one I'm going to build this church. Not you personally, but everything that you saw me do while you were walking with me. That's your foundation, Peter. Oh, I don't know. Yeah, but Peter, there's going to be one coming. You know, I have to go back to the Father, but I'm going to leave you with something so that you're never alone. And I tell you what, you may not physically or visibly be able to see Jesus Christ, but the power that raised Him from the dead is living inside of you. And you can do whatever He wants you to do because He's going to work through you, just like Peter. Peter was out of place when he was slicing and slashing. And dude, this ain't West Side Story, man. This is the real deal here. but he's going to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And just like me and you, filled by the Holy Spirit to do what? To change the world. Just like you. The same slasher, the same, I don't care what your past was. Look at Peter. Peter was all foot and mouth, one thing after another, one thing after another, one thing after another. And then when Jesus is resurrected, he's sitting on the beach making them breakfast. Hey, Peter, come here. Do you love me, man? Oh, you know I love you. Well, then feed my sheep, man. He had to ask him three times. I don't know if that was a reference to him denying him three times or whatever, but we have been given everything we need to live a godly life and to share in his divine nature. To me, it doesn't get any better than that. To have everything that I need to live a godly life and I have the Holy Spirit living inside me. What more do we need? Well, you don't understand. I have to drink like that. I have to take those pills. I have to go see this person. I have to, you don't know what my wife's doing to me. I have to talk to this other. You don't know what my boss, I have to compromise at work. You don't, excuse me, yet no, you don't. You have everything you need to live a victorious life because God said so. God sent his son not to leave us hopeless, desperate, lost, and lonely, but for us to cling on to him and love him and surrender our lives unto him so that we don't have to live under the power of sin or the fear of dying. We've got to stop doing things in our own strength. And I know for men, that can be tough at times. I guess for women too, but to do things in our own strength and, Christianity's a crutch. And that's right, it is a crutch because I was so lost without that crutch. You can call, I don't care what, call it whatever you want, man. He loves me. And if I was God, I would have killed myself a long time ago. And a few other people along the way too. But he knew in my heart. Sometimes we need this. Take a couple steps back, man. Just breathe in. But just take a couple steps back and consult with our wonderful counselor. Hey, what's the deal today? I have no clue. I look at my schedule, no way. I look at my life, no way. But show me something. Guide me in some way. Instruct me. Help me. Help me do something today for your kingdom, God. Something. Here's our verse in Romans 8:11. The Spirit of God who raised Jesus from the dead lives in you. I mean, come on now. I mean, really? Wow. You mean when they went to the tomb and they didn't see Jesus? That the power that got him out of that tomb and walked amongst them for 40 days, that power, God is in me? That's right. But the thing is, what are you going to do with it? Are you going to push it away? Are you going to keep it in a drawer? Are you going to ignore it? Are you going to use it for your glory? Are you going to touch the glory? Or are you going to allow my son and me to get the glory? Are you going to worship me? Or do you want people to worship you? Because you can have them worship you if you want, but that's all you're getting. That's all you're going to get for that moment, that glory. So when they're clapping and laughing, dig it, because that's all you're going to get. Or you can worship me, allow my son to get the glory, and then you'll even get more, I was going to say presence. But then I could use that both ways. Presence of the Lord and presence from the Lord. And just as God raised Christ Jesus, and he made me, so take it up with him. And just as God raised Christ Jesus from the dead, he will give life to your mortal bodies. And I love that too. Oh, I'm lost. Oh, God, how could God ever use anybody like me? Didn't you see me laying in the gutter, God? Didn't you see me when I was doing this? Didn't you hear me when I was saying those things? He will give life to your mortal bodies by the same Spirit living within you. Just let him get the glory for that unbelievable promise, man. Don't touch that. Allow him to work through you. I mean, when Peter, as flawed as he was, I mean, put yourself in this position here. When Peter, as flawed as he was, got out of his own way, that's what basically, just get out of your own way, and I tell you, allow the Holy Spirit full access into your walk. Just get out of the way, man. Allow God and the promises that you read on a daily basis as your faith increases, allow that to permeate in your life and get out of the way. Just get out of the way. Allow God to work through you. When he allowed the Holy Spirit full access into his walk, he put all his focus on Jesus and his saving grace. All of it was, it wasn't about me, it wasn't about my sword, it wasn't about this, it wasn't about this, it wasn't about anything. What can I add to this conversation with you, Jesus? Because that's all Peter did. Well, I tell you what, Jesus, how did we do this? Well, don't we, who's the greatest? Who's this? Who's this? Are you walking on water? What's it? All these things, he just allow that Holy Spirit that's in him, and he allowed him full access, and he put all his focus on Jesus Christ and his saving grace. Look at this story. After Jesus went back to be with God in heaven in the book of Acts. St. Peter. Peter and John went to the temple one afternoon to take part in the 3 o'clock prayer service. As they approached the temple, a man lame from birth was being carried in. Each day he was put beside the temple gate, the one called the Beautiful Gate, so he could beg from the people going into the temple. When he saw Peter and John about to enter, he asked them for some money, because that's what he was used to doing. He sat there day after day after day. Listen, I'm a beggar. I need financial assistance here. Peter and John looked at him intently, and Peter said, "Look at us." The lame man looked at them eagerly, expecting some money. He's like, "Oh, you're going to send me? Thank you so much." He probably had the whole thing down. "Oh, thank you." But Peter said, "I don't have any silver or gold for you. I got this little knife." Now, he didn't say that. "I don't have any silver or gold for you, but I'll give you what I have." And I love this. "I'll give you what I have. You want what I have? In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, get up and walk. I'll give you what I have. The Spirit of living God living inside of me is now going to be living inside of you." Then Peter took the lame man by the right hand and helped him up. And as he did, the man's feet and ankles were instantly healed and strengthened. He jumped up, stood on his feet, and began to walk. Then walking, leaping, he didn't just stop there. He didn't just walk away and say, "Wow, that was bizarre." No, he got up leaping and praising God. He went into the temple with them, probably going into the temple for the first time in his life. All the people saw him walking and heard him praising God. When they realized he was the lame beggar they had seen so often at the Beautiful Gate, they were absolutely astounded. They all rushed out in amazement to Solomon's colonnade, where the man was holding tightly to Peter and John. Perfect opportunity. "Hey, look, I got this healing ministry. Me and John, it's Peter and John's healing ministry. You follow us, we're going to heal you, we'll get your money, we'll do all of this." That's not what happened. Peter saw this opportunity and addressed the crowd. "People of Israel," he said, "what's so surprising about this? And why stare at us as though we had made this man walk by our own power or godliness?" It had nothing to do with Peter. It had nothing to do with John. It was all by the power of God. Don't touch the glory when God works through us. Peter says this in 2 Peter. "In view of all this, make every effort to respond to God's promises." Make that personally. Are we making every effort in responding to God's promises? We know that God's promises, you can go through the Word of God and see promise after promise after promise after promise, but they usually have a little caveat in the end. When you do this, this will happen. When you do this, this will happen. When you do this, and we want everything to happen without submitting to God, without committing our life to God, without trusting to God, without surrendering to God. But God, your promises. Yeah, my promise, I give you the choice today between good and evil, between life and death. The thing is, when you obey my commandments, there's where the blessings are. But the curse comes when you don't obey them. So what do you want? Blessings chase the righteous. What you're doing isn't righteous. But you still want the blessing? Yeah, because I'm an American and I'm worth everything I gave you. No, blessings chase the righteous. In view of this, make every effort to respond to God's promise. Supplement your faith with a generous provision of moral excellence, and moral excellence with knowledge, and knowledge with self-control, and self-control with patient endurance, and patient endurance with godliness, and godliness with brotherly affection, and brotherly affection with love for everyone. When I was preparing this, I looked back briefly on basically the Swiss cheese life that I always led. That's the only word I could come up with when I was thinking about it. It had more holes in it, more voids in it, or holes in it than any golf course in Volusia County. I mean, my life is just full of holes and voids and lack and all of this. But as I came to rely on Jesus Christ, as I came to follow him, as I came to understand him, that he came to save, he didn't come to destroy, he came so that no one would perish, so that everyone could inherit eternal life through him with the Father. He came to be that reconciler back to his Father. When I realized that I was part of that, those promises began to fill those voids. And you know what? They continue to fill those voids. They continue to take away those doubts. They continue to show me that the things that were once impossible in my life are being lived out. They're coming to fruition now. God, how could you ever take someone like me and put them in a... Because I choose, well, basically crazy people like you because you'll give me the glory. You won't touch the glory. And the same thing for you guys, too. It doesn't matter what God has you doing in your life. He'll come into your life and then think, well, that would never be. How could that ever happen? That's impossible. Now, all things are possible when you allow God in the mix with you. Every single thing is possible when you allow. Well, you don't understand. You don't understand how big God is. Life in Christ gives and brings strength, and it gives and brings strength and understanding. Are we allowing his promises to reign in our walks? Are we allowing his promises to reign in our walks? Or, we'll flip the coin, or is it just always raining in your life? Here's the promises of God reigning in your life because he's on the throne, or is it just always raining? How are we doing with letting the light of the world into our life? We can sing the songs, we can raise our hand, light of the world, you came into darkness, but you can't help me in this situation because you don't understand my weakness. No, you have your hands raised up, you came into our lives to help us. Martin Luther said, pray as if everything depends on God. Pray as if everything depends on God. Then work as if everything depends on you. You have the Holy Spirit inside of you. The Spirit that raised Christ from the dead is inside of you. Pray that, God, I'm going to depend on you in every single situation, but I'm going to work and work and work for your kingdom because I can make a difference. I can make a personal difference in someone's life out there. Whether it's one person or a billion people, I can make a difference. So I'm going to depend on you, but then I'm going to act like I've got to depend on myself, which is kind of weird when you think about it. But I'm going to work as if everything depends on myself. Meanwhile, back in the garden, need like a little fog machine. Meanwhile, back in the garden, Dr. Luke tells us this. When the other disciples saw what was about to happen, they exclaimed, and these guys, man, these guys ain't gangsters, but they sure got the gangster thing going on here. It's like the Crips and they exclaimed, Lord, should we fight? We brought the swords. We brought the swords. Earlier in Luke, they said, hey, Jesus told them, hey, go, if you don't have a sword, go trade in your coat and get a sword. Oh, well, we have two. And Jesus said, well, that's enough. So they're standing there with two swords. It's like, we're ready, man. Here we go. Hey, Peter, don't go for the ear this time, you know, just go for something else. But Lord, should we fight? We brought the swords. And one of them struck at the high priest's slave, slashing off his right ear. But Jesus said, no more of this. No more of this. And he touched the man's ear and healed him. No, guys, no more. No more. No more of this. Lord, should we fight? I want to take this in a little different direction here. Hebrews 4. talking about the swords here. First off, in verse 12, the Word of God is alive and powerful. Don't lose sight of that. It's not you. It's not me. The Word of God is the one that is alive and powerful. We get our strength, remember, from the Holy Spirit living inside of you. So the writer of Hebrews is like, hey, right off the bat, the word of God is the thing here that is alive and powerful. Don't ever think that you're more than that or less than that, but it's the Word of God. The Word of God, is sharper. Not you, not your tongue, not your wit, not your whatever you think you can bring to the party here. They brought knives. What do we bring to the conversation? It, the Word of God, is sharper than the sharpest two-edged sword, cutting between soul and spirit, between joint and marrow. The Word of God does that. God doesn't need our help to come in and start slashing and doing this and doing that and being basically mean to people. Well, the Word of God says this. You better put that or else this is going to... Excuse me. The Word of God can stand alone. Once again, it, the Word of God, it exposes. Not me, not you. It is not our job to go into somebody's kitchen and expose something, their innermost thoughts and their desires. Let the Word of God do that for them. We're so good at carrying around the Word of God and hitting people over the head with it, and then you don't see them ever again, and they go back to the lifestyle they had. Let the Word of God be the Word of God and not beat people up with it. If you want to beat someone up, beat yourself. Say, Lord, point out anything that offends you. Well, that does when you do that. Nothing in all creation is hidden from God. Everything is naked and exposed before His eyes. So, well, the Word of God says this, I see everything, and we get this piousness, we get this uppity thing going on, and it's everything is naked and exposed before His eyes. He is the one to whom we are accountable. Not me, not you. I mean, yes, to have some degree of accountability, but not to take God's word and hit someone over the head of it. I mean, can we use God's word as a tool for salvation instead of a weapon of mass destruction? I mean, really, so many people, wow, that word, that's just all full of hate and this and that. Look at you Christians and you're doing that and doing... Come on now. Let's use it as a tool of salvation. Paul says this in Colossians 3. And I love this. Since means since. Since God did choose you to be holy. Since He did. That's past tense. So that means God chose you to be holy. He loves. You must clothe yourselves with tenderhearted mercy, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. And probably one of my favorite verses in the Bible. Make allowance for each other's faults. And I've explained this before. I wake up in the morning and I know you're going to upset me. I wake up in the morning and I know that you're going to offend me. I wake up in the morning and know that you're a sinner. But you wake up in the morning and know I'm a sinner. Because the Bible tells me that you're a sinner. The Bible tells me that I'm a sinner. So that known, I'm going to wake up in the morning already knowing that you're a sinner, that we're all saved by the grace of God. I'm going to make allowance for your faults. But make allowance for mine too. And forgive anyone who offends you. Remember, the Lord forgave you, so you must forgive others. Above all, clothe yourself with love, which binds us together in perfect harmony. And let the peace that comes from Christ rule in your hearts, for as members of one body, you are called to live in peace. And always be thankful. Let the message about Christ and all its richness fill your lives, teach and counsel each other with all the wisdom He gives. Teaching counsel with all the wisdom that I have or that I come up with or let me... Teaching counsel each other with all the wisdom He gives. No one wants to hear your opinion. No one wants to hear my opinion. From the very first day of this church, I told you guys, when you come in here, hey, what do you think about this? What does God think about this? So who cares what I... We could have 50 people line up and ask a question. Everybody will be different. Who cares? What does God think about this? What does God say about this? How is God trying to instruct us to do something productive about this. Teach and counsel each other with all the wisdom he gives. Sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs to God with thankful hearts. And whatever, and this is key, and whatever you do or say, that's whatever you do or say. That's at work, that's when you're getting ready to compromise, that's when you're getting ready to watch something you shouldn't watch, that's when you're getting ready to say something you shouldn't say, that's when you're getting ready to make that phone call that, I don't know if I should do that. Whatever you do or say, do it as a representative of the Lord Jesus. You're a Christian, man. You are a follower of Jesus Christ. You have the Spirit that raised him from the dead. How dare any of us do something out of his character? Giving thanks through him to God the Father. But I love this. As Jesus reached down, doesn't say if he caught it midstream. I wonder if he, as he was falling, he caught it like, Peter, put away your sword, man. But he placed his ear back in place. I mean, really. Still teaching to the very last moment. Still teaching, still healing, still loving, still caring for his enemy. Can I do that? They're coming there to arrest him. They're coming him to take them to a false trial. They're coming there so he can carry his own piece of wood up the hill of Calvary to die on the cross for what Peter just did, for what they're going to do to him. He's going to the cross to die for that. Still caring for his enemy. But as he's doing that, he's letting me, and I so clear, letting me and letting you know that all of us, that he loves so much, that he wants you to be, as my dad would say, to be a part of the puzzle. My dad would always say that when I was growing up. Hey, be a part of the puzzle. Just be a part of, be productive in this area. Jesus doesn't need me to do anything. Peter, I don't need that sword, man. I could have done whatever I had to do to get out of this situation, but that's not my Father's plan. So put that sword away. Put it away, man. I don't need your help, but I love you so much, I want you to help me. I love you so much that I want you to serve my Father, because that's my Father's plan. My Father's plan that gives him such great pleasure is for you to just love on him and to love on me and believe in me so that you can spend eternity with him in heaven. He wants us to be a part of the puzzle. He wants us to be a part of something. You don't need me. So when we realize that, well, look what I'm doing for Jesus. Really? I saw you. You made a mess of things, Peter. You did that for Jesus. Now look at the mess you made. Now I got to come behind you and fix something. He doesn't need our help. I mean, what? Like a couple hours before that, they were sleeping. And now they're conquerors? I mean, I think of that like as a new believer or something. You get woken up from, you're saved, and all of a sudden you want to go gangbusters and all this zealousness and just, woohoo, woohoo! It's like, just chillax. He doesn't need our help. We need his help. It's flipped. Oh, I'm doing this. Look at my ministry. Your ministry, excuse me? But look at what I'm doing over in Africa. Look at what you're doing in Africa. Peter continues in 2 Peter. The more you grow like this, the more productive and useful you will be in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. I love that. The more you grow, the more productive, the more useful, the more knowledge of Christ. And then in verse 9 he says, but those who fail to develop in this way are short-sighted or blind. Don't lose factor. Don't lose the sight here that this is the same Peter who just probably 50 days before he said this was in the garden lashing out in his own strength, trying to help Jesus, trying to do this, trying to do that. He was sleeping, and then he went ballistic on Malchus. But those who fail to develop in this way are short-sighted or blind, forgetting that they have been cleansed from their own sins. Let us not get there. Let us never, ever, ever get there in our relationship with God. Never get there. Never stop to fail to develop. Never stop getting hungry for his word. Never stop trying to get closer to him. Never stop allowing the Holy Spirit to work in our lives. Stay in his word. Stay in fellowship with each other. And I tell you what, look out for each other's best interests. It's like, well, I look out for them, but not their best interests. I mean, Paul says, I think it's in Philippians, he says, hey, don't think you're too good to help someone else. Never think that you're too good to help someone else. Never think that you're too good. Because then he says, because you're not. So get off of that throne right away. As we grow in Christ, the more effective we will be. That's faith. How do you increase your faith? By hearing the good news about Jesus Christ. The more you're in His Word, the more you're in the Bible studies, the more you're in fellowship with believers, the more as you grow in Christ, the more effective you will be everywhere and in everything that you're doing. Everywhere. Well, you don't understand. No, we don't understand if we don't think that that is true from God. At work, at play, whatever. God loves it when we play. Play His name. I tell you what, I've heard this said before. Do whatever you want on this planet, but love God first. Because it's love God with all your heart, might, and soul, and then go do whatever you want. Oh, I can go do whatever I want. Yeah, but have you put Him above all things? Well, no. Well, then you can't do whatever you want, because, you know. We will be more effective with everything, everywhere and everything. And just in closing, it's in us. We saw this morning, it is in us. Everything that we need to be productive and victorious on this planet, it is in you. So let's rely on that. Let's lean into that. Let's submit our lives into that promise. And in closing, Peter says this, so dear brothers and sisters, work hard to prove that you really are among those God has called and chosen. Do these things and you will never fall away. Do these things and you will never fall away. Then God will give you a grand entrance into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Before I say amen, I'll give an opportunity, whether you're in here or on the internet, to give your life to Christ and allow Him to come into your heart, strengthen you, so that you too can be more productive and useful. I mean, trust me, for years I thought I was useless. Production was not in my vocabulary. Goodness, holiness, righteousness, I always thought that they were for the ones with the white capes and the halos around their head. And then I realized that there's no white capes and halos on any head on this planet. But I did. I just woke up one morning after years of filth and disarray and being lost, and I just said, help, but I meant it in my heart for the first time. I went to God and I said, help, but I meant it. And that's what God's looking for. He's looking for our sincerity. What we says, hey, all the help on the planet for you to be victorious can be placed inside you right now, but you know what, dude, you don't mean it. You just want to get out of the trouble that you're in right now, because I already know, because God knows everything, and because I know in 3 days from now, exactly 2:45, you're going to go right back to what you're doing. But make this, today could be the day of your salvation. In your heart, mean it and just go to Him and say, would you help me this morning? Let's pray. As it's on the screen, it's like Jesus' blood never fails. Jesus' blood has never failed anyone. To all who come to Him, to all who have called upon His name are saved. Heavenly Father, I pray right now that if there's anyone within earshot of this, that they haven't given their life unto you, I pray, God, that they choose to receive you right now. If that is you, can just say, God, I am a sinner. Forgive me. I choose to believe in your plan that you have laid out for me, God. God, this plan that gave you such good pleasure. Include me in your plan, God. I choose this morning to believe that you sent your Son to live a sinless life, born of a virgin, and to walk up that hill of Calvary and die for me. Clean me by your Holy Spirit. Purify me. May you clothe me with your Son's righteousness. I choose to believe this morning that in 3 days after the cross, He was risen from the dead, eliminating the power of death in my life, eliminating the fear of death in my life. Holy Spirit, guide me. Rule my life as I trust and commit to you, God. I thank you. For the rest of us who have given their life to God, help us. Help us not to fade away. Help us not fall short. Though we do, God. But when we do fall short, God, help us to get right back up. God, dust us off. Point us in the right direction. Fill us with your Holy Spirit. We thank you this morning. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.